Let's open our Bibles today to 1 Kings chapter 1. And we'll scroll back a little bit to verse number 5 to get our context. This, I believe, is the 37th year of King David. He's 67 or thereabouts. His son Solomon is about 15, according to the traditions. And David has been prepping Solomon for becoming king and building the temple. Because in David's mind, that's the most important thing that needs to happen once David is dead. He's made this his dream for years, and he's done a lot of preparation for it. We will discover that he's actually been getting information from the Holy Spirit as to how the temple should look and how its services should be organized. And he also knows that he's only got a short period of time left until he'll be gone, so he needs to communicate all this to David and the leaders now. But I've been sharing with you that David has not made publicly clear that Solomon is to be the next king. So the assumption has been made for quite some time that the eldest son of David, the eldest surviving son of David, is to be the next king. That's the tradition with all the other peoples in the Middle East. Well, perhaps because David's health is declining. Remember, he had to get married again to a nurse that will take good care of him because he can't keep his own body heat. And he's having issues that keep him in bed sometimes for long periods of time. So his health is declining. He is also has been the target of a lot of discontent. Adonijah's coup the previous year, or a couple of years earlier, had a lot of support. And Sheba, the Benjamite, had also attempted a coup. And the Philistines thought that maybe they'd be better off asserting their independence. So there's been a little bit of turmoil in recent years under the kingship of David. So apparently, some people are ready for Adonijah, the eldest surviving son of David, to just take over the kingdom. Not to do like Absalom apparently had planned and kill David, but rather just make it an accomplished thing that everybody wants Adonijah to be the next king, and so David just needs to work with him to transition the kingdom into his hands. So we read in 1 Kings 1:5, that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So he starts acting like the crown prince. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done thus and so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. So in this particular year that we're looking at, he would have been somewhere around maybe 34, 35, something in that neighborhood. And David had not really made clear to him that he needed to be a better man and that he was not going to be the next king. So he just assumes, "I'm going to be the next king. I might as well take control now." And in order to do that, he needs supporters. So verse 7, he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. So Joab is the commander of the united armies of Israel. And with Abiathar the priest. So one of the two priestly leaders of Israel. So he reaches out to the military and the religious leadership to get support for his declaration of kingship. And they agree. It says they followed Adonijah and helped him. So they start making all of the arrangements for his coronation. Verse number 8, but Zadok the priest, that's the other of the two high priests, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and this is the man in the military who's the head of the bodyguard and the courier corps, and Nathan the prophet, who is a religious leader of sorts, but is very much tied in with David, and Shimei and Rei and David's mighty men were not with Adonijah. So there were some top-tier military guys as well as civilian advisors that they're not on board with this. They don't realize until too late what's going on. So verse number 9. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle by the serpent's pool, which is beside En-Rogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, or Benaiah, or the mighty men, or Solomon his brother. So Adonijah goes somewhere just outside of the city of Jerusalem to a spring area. En-Rogel appears to be somewhere in the neighborhood of the junction of the Kidron Valley, which is on the east side of the city of Jerusalem, and the Hinnom Valley, which is on the south side of Jerusalem. And so this place is just outside the walls of ancient Jerusalem, off to the southwest, or excuse me, southeast apparently. A little bit southeast of the Pool of Siloam. And he goes through the ceremony that's involved in declaring himself king. And he's got all of his brothers except Solomon there, because he doesn't like Solomon, because Solomon is daddy's golden boy, probably. And he's got all the royal officials there, except for the ones that he knows are not going to go along with him on this. And Nathan the prophet would be an example of that. Benaiah, the head of the bodyguard and the courier corps, and some of the top-tier military guys. None of them have been invited. Just the ones that are willing to go along with it. And they're going to have this ceremony and then present it to David as a done deal. Well, Nathan the prophet said to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king and David our Lord does not know it? Now, how does David not know about it? Well, David is apparently having one of those situations where he's in bed. He's having a problem physically. And so he's not aware of the current event. So here's Nathan's recommendation to Bathsheba, who is David's most favorite wife, apparently, at this time. Now, therefore, come, let me give you advice that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Now, why does he phrase it that way? Because it was common practice among many of the dynasties of the Middle East, that the moment a king took control, that he eradicated any threats to his throne. Now, often if it was a new family, he just eradicated everybody from the previous family. But if it was your own family, you would kill off anyone in line to the throne that you thought might challenge you. And so Solomon, as clearly David's golden boy, favorite son at this time, is going to be a threat to Adonijah, and so would his mother, Bathsheba, who has a lot of power. And so Nathan anticipates the moment David's dead, Adonijah is going to kill you and kill your boy. That's what he tells Bathsheba. So this is how you can save yourself. Verse 13, go in at once to King David and say to him, did you not, my lord the king, swear to your servant, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then is Adonijah king? And then while you are still speaking to the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. Now that's related kind of to the Jewish thing from the scripture, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter will be established. So Bathsheba's going to go in first and say, hey, David, I thought you swore in the name of he who is that Solomon, our son, was going to be the next king. So why is it that Adonijah is king now? And then Nathan's going to pop into the room and ask the same question. Hey, I thought you said that Solomon is going to be the next king because that's what God wants. How come Adonijah is declaring himself king and is being declared king by the people? So that's exactly what happens. Verse 15. So Bathsheba went in to the king in his chamber. Now the king was very old and Abishag the Shunammite was attending to the king. So basically, as I said, he's having one of his spells. And so he's confined to the bed, trying to stay warm. Abishag is there trying to take care of his physical heat needs and probably also taking care of any other feeding and things of that need. And so she basically comes into the bedroom and Bathsheba bowed and paid homage to the king. And the king said, what do you desire? And she said to him, my lord, you swore to your servant by he who is your God, saying, Solomon, your son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah is king, although you, my lord, the king, don't know it. He sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance. He's invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon, your servant, he's not invited. And now, my lord, the king, the eye of all Israel are on you. The eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it shall come to pass when my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted offenders. So, David, Adonijah is being declared king right this very moment. If you don't speak up and make it clear that Solomon is your choice to be king, then when you're dead, it's going to be said that you accepted this coronation ceremony of Adonijah, and Solomon trying to claim that he's the king is going to get him killed, and me along with him. David, you have to do something. Verse 22, while she was still speaking to the king, Nathan the prophet came in, and they told the king, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he bowed before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down this day and has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons, the commanders of the army, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him, saying, long live King Adonijah! But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he's not invited. Has this thing been brought about by my lord the king, and you've not told your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? So exactly as the plan was, Nathan confirms what's going on and asks the question, David, is this really what you want? Did you command that this should happen and I didn't get brought in on it, and neither did Benaiah and others? And so King David answered, call Bathsheba to me. So apparently she had left the room when Nathan came in. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, "As he who is lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by he who is the God of Israel, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, even so will I do this day." And then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, "May my lord King David live forever." So David reaffirms to her his intention from all along, ever since Solomon was born, some 15 years earlier apparently, that Solomon will be king. And I'm going to make that clear today. Verse 32. King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So apparently Nathan had gone out of the room when David was talking with Bathsheba. So now he brings in the priest that is loyal to David, the prophet who is loyal to David, and the bodyguard and courier corps commander that is loyal to David. Now, they're not the only ones. They're just the ones that he's going to charge to get the job done. So they came before the king, and the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon." Now, Gihon is the water source inside the walls of Jerusalem. It's on the east side, about midway between the north end of Jerusalem and the south end of Jerusalem in this time period. Remember, in this time period, Jerusalem was a little oval hilltop immediately south of the modern-day Temple Mount. It was only, a third of a mile long north and south, and only a tenth of a mile wide east and west. So the Gihon Spring is just a little bit south of the palace complex, probably. And it is a water source very important to the city, and therefore probably the place that certain ceremonies happen. Now, the Adonijah ceremony is happening farther south than that, outside the city walls. So David instructs these men to take Solomon, put him on David's personal mule. And mules were the sign of a Jewish king, because they represented humility. They represented a man of the agricultural lifestyle of the Israelis. So he says, "You put him on my personal mule, my royal mule, and you take him to the source of water for Israel, for Jerusalem, Gihon." And then verse 34, "Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel." So let them take the special holy anointing oil, pour it over his head, and declare that he is, by David's command and God's choice, the new king. Now, no doubt Adonijah had had this anointing oil poured on his head by Abiathar the priest. But now we've got two religious leaders doing the same thing for Solomon. And then, verse 34 continues, "Blow the trumpet and say, Long live King Solomon. You shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." So David says, once you finish with the ceremony there, you escort him back through the crowds of the people living in Jerusalem that are going to be aware of this happening. And then you bring him back here to the palace, and you put him right on my throne, and you start treating him as the king. Verse 36, "Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king, Amen. May he who is the God of my lord the king say so. As he who is has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and may his throne be greater than the throne of my lord King David. And so Benaiah, remember, is the man who runs the bodyguard of the king and the courier corps of the king. So once he's on board with this, Solomon is fully protected as the new king of Israel. So, verse 38, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites, and the Pelethites. See, that's the bodyguard, the Kerethites, the sworn men, and the Pelethites, the runners, went down, and they had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and they brought him to Gihon. And there the Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. That's probably the tent where the Ark of the Covenant is located in Jerusalem, in the palace grounds. And then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. So this is a really loud celebration happening here in Jerusalem. Now, less than a mile away to the southeast is Adonijah and his bunch. And apparently they were not quite as raucous in their celebration, because suddenly they start hearing what's going on inside the city walls. Verse 41, Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "What does this uproar in the city mean?" So they can't figure out, what's all this noise that's going on up there in the city? And while he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came. So here comes the son of the priest that's joined in with this coup. And Adonijah said, "Come in, for you're a worthy man, and bring good news." And Jonathan answered Adonijah, "No, I'm not bringing good news. For our Lord King David has made Solomon king. And the king has sent him with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites. They had him ride on the king's mule. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they've gone up from there rejoicing so that the city is in uproar. This is the noise that you've heard. And Solomon sits on the royal throne." So Solomon is on the throne right this second. I've seen it. "Moreover, the king's servants came to congratulate our Lord King David, saying, 'May your God make the name of Solomon more famous than yours, and make your throne, or his throne, greater than your throne.' And the king bowed himself on the bed." So King David is receiving guests into his bedroom who are bringing congratulations to him on the coronation of Solomon as the new king of Israel. So effectively, we've got two kings of Israel right now. We've got David, who is the retiring king, and Solomon, who is the brand new minted king. And so the king also said, "Blessed be he who is the God of Israel, who has granted someone to sit on my throne this day, my own eyes seeing it." So the tables have been turned. Instead of Adonijah's coronation being the done deal, which David would be forced to accept, Solomon's coronation by David is the done deal. And now Adonijah and his bunch have to accept it. And it scares them, because now what they're engaged in is treason. Verse 49, "Then all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each went his own way. And Adonijah feared Solomon." Notice he's not fearing David, he fears Solomon, because Solomon is the new king. So he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now, the altar that's being referenced here is the altar of sacrifice, which is located at Gibeon, just a few miles northwest of Jerusalem, at the tabernacle. And a person would do this in order to beg for forgiveness and protection. So he's asking for amnesty. And unfortunately, we're out of time, so we'll have to kind of leave this as the cliffhanger for the next time we get into God's Word.